He's live from his mother's basement in Los Angeles. Our 400-pound celebrity insider and entertainment lawyer. It's Enty Lawyer on Katie and Ed.
Enty!
Hola!
Hi, how are you?
I am well. How are the two of you?
You know, we're casual.
Do you take a multivitamin, by the way? Do you guys take vitamins?
Yeah, man, prenatals. I gotta.
I don't take anything.
But you're not prenatal, or you're natal.
Yeah, but you still have to take them, because it's technically prenatal, because it's pre-fetus being outside of my body. You know what I mean?
So your hair must look fabulous.
I do look really good. I'm trying to enjoy it while it's here. Ed does not take vitamins. He also does not brush his teeth some days, so he's
killing it. I skip it maybe once a week, you guys. Just chill.
Ed,
chill.
Take 2 minutes. Brush your teeth.
Good Lord.
Enty Lawyer, we are obviously excited to have you on the show because we wanted to check in first. Obviously, there's the two trials. Like, we talked to you last week about the Kardashians v. Blac Chyna. That's the other kind of scandalous trial that's going on. Obviously, Johnny Depp and Amber Heard going strong. Every day there's something new, whether it's like her lawyer objecting to himself and them laughing at a guy because he's vaping on his video testimony. Now that we're like a few weeks in, a check-in with Enty, you're a lawyer. Is there a winner yet? Do we know how this is going to go?
Okay. Johnny Depp cannot win. I mean, he just can't. I mean, a jury could technically say, oh, yes, you know, you win, but legally speaking, the judge will throw that out or it'll get tossed out on appeal. So he's done. I mean, it's basically just a scorched earth kind of thing where let me just destroy both of our careers. And because that's what's happening.
Yeah.
When you have all of this stuff happening, you know, on TV and everything, I mean, Warner Brothers is probably going, oh my God, what are we going to do? Oh my gosh, Aquaman. I mean, and who's going to hire? I mean, Johnny will get hired again for a movie, but I mean, it's just like, oh God, you know, he's not going to get some kind of franchise where he's going to get $30 or $40 million a movie. Like you did for Fantastic Beasts or Pirates of the Caribbean. It's a really bad situation. In regards to the Kardashians and stuff, as much as I'd like to see them buried under like 16 feet of Calgary snow.
That's like an April day for us here.
Yeah. I think that they're going to win against Blac Chyna.
Wow.
Because it's not that the Kardashians have come off looking great or anything. It's the thing is that if you're E and Blac Chyna and Rob have broken up, how can you have a Rob and Chyna show? So did the Kardashians cause that? The Kardashians, no question, sent all kinds of emails. Oh my gosh, we hate Blac Chyna. We hate her. We hate her. We hate her.
Yeah.
You know, cancel this show or we're not going to do our own show. Choose. Do you want the Kardashians and Jenners or do you want Blac Chyna? You know, I mean, they're awful, evil people. But at the same time, how do you have a Rob and Chyna show if Rob and Chyna aren't together?
Yeah.
It's just, it's you know, so it'll be interesting to see. I mean, the jury could very well, just because they might hate the Kardashians as much as everybody else in America, so they might, you know, let Blac Chyna win, and good for them if they do. But legally speaking, I'm just, you know, if I was an executive at E, and I'm like, well, they're not together. How am I going to do this show? I mean, Rob is, you know, The Guardian once called the show the saddest show on TV. because Rob, it's just not good as anything on, you know, he's good in a supporting role where we can edit him and just have a couple of lines or something.
Right.
But to actually have him as the star of a show is not a good idea. And, you know, it's all Blac Chyna's show, basically. But obviously she wasn't that popular or didn't have a high enough Q score or something, because other networks would have come and said, oh my gosh, even though the two of you are split, oh, Blac Chyna, we got to have you on a show.
Right. Oh,
happen.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
okay.
I hope the Kardashians lose. I hope that Blac Chyna gets $100 million. But, I mean, I see the point of E there.
Okay.
Okay. So what have we learned from this trial? What are some of the things that have come out?
What have we learned? I mean, we've learned that the Kardashians are, they will only, you know, do for themselves. I think that it's also kind of focused the world a little bit on the Kardashians. If you noticed, everybody's kind of going after Kim pretty hard and saying, look, why the hell are you photoshopping other children into your Disney pictures?
Yeah.
How come, you know, you're photoshopping Pete's jawline? How could, what happened to your belly button? And she's just like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. And everybody's, I think people are finally starting to realize that Kim Kardashian and any of them will lie to you in a second.
Yeah,
you know, oh, Khloe, how did you look? Go back to the first season of Keeping Up with the Kardashians and look at you now. These are not the same people. What have you had done? I had my nose done, and that's it, really. Because really, I've had nothing else done.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're just going, liar! You know,
yeah.
and that kind of thing. What we learned with Johnny Depp and Amber Heard is that, well, you know, Amber is taking the stand. So we'll learn some things. What have we learned? That everybody is sick of it. Everybody's sick of the case. I mean, look at the guy who worked at the apartment building, right? The doorman or whatever. And
yeah.
He's sitting in his car and he's vaping and he's just like, I'm tired of this. I'm so tired of this. He's probably saying, you guys make millions upon millions of dollars a year. Just enjoy the money. Just enjoy your life instead of just going after each other. Me, I'm making like $16 an hour and relying on tips from assholes like you. And I just like, I'm sitting in the car and I've had to talk about this case for 2 or 3 years. I'm done. I'm so done. Just be grown-ups.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what he, you know, I, that's what I look at. When I look at the Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, I'm just like, grow up. What is the point of any of this?
Rich people be what, rich people.
Well, yeah. And I think that, you know, with all of this, I think that Johnny, you know, whether he's clear of this or not, really, I think there was part of a story that was missing. I think that he definitely wanted everyone to hear about.
Everybody already knew that Amber beat the hell out of him. I mean, everybody already knew. If you go back and you look at my site, when they were married, I said, Amber likes to keep him on drugs and keep him manipulated. She is force-feeding him drugs because she wanted to keep him. I got that. The therapist who came, who had to testify by her deposition rather than in person, she said that Amber was gleeful about beating up Johnny. And that whenever she had the chance, she was just like, I got to beat him up. I got to hit him or whatever.
Yeah.
We already knew that Amber had a thirst for domestic violence. But it doesn't change the fact that the therapist said there was mutual abuse. And that Johnny was beating Amber too.
Right.
So they're both beating each other. They're both taking drugs. Oh, and Johnny with this whole, I mean, I was sober. And then Amber came along and he had all these witnesses who go, oh, Johnny is such a good person who would never do drugs or alcohol. And then you show a picture of him passed out with ice cream, you know, scattered around him or whatever, because he's passed out drunk. And, you know, it's all lies.
Okay, so
it's all lies.
Let's get into the more sort of like details from Amber Heard's side in terms of Elon Musk and James Franco. They were supposed to testify. Now they're not testifying. Why is that? And can you maybe go into the Elon Musk relationship with Amber a little bit? Because I don't think a lot of people know that, including me. I forgot that they even dated.
Oh, they dated? I didn't know.
Yeah.
That.
Elon's paying for the trial. Elon's paying for all her legal fees right now.
He is?
Yeah.
What? On top of
100%.
Twitter?
Yeah, how can he afford that right
believe
now?
Me, her legal doesn't cost $43 billion.
Yeah, exactly.
So he can afford it. The reason that they're not testifying, Elon, the reason I thought that he would testify is because I thought Johnny might call him and say, there were some times when Elon and Amber were dating where Elon's face was just looked like he had been beaten to hell. And so I thought they might call him and go, what's going on in this picture? What happened to your face?
Yeah.
And then have him, you know, say, well, Amber beat me up. So I thought that they might go with that for that. With James Franco, I thought he might be called because of the fact that Amber snuck him up in the in the penthouse elevator on the night that she was supposedly beaten by Johnny. And, hey, did you notice any marks on her face while you were having sex with her? So I thought that they might call him and ask him directly that question. There's no reason for Amber to call Elon or James Franco. There's just not a point.
Yeah.
So right.
it was gonna come from Johnny Depp's side. Now, Elon and Amber, yeah, they dated, and she'll say, oh, you know, I think they addressed it. I think something like Lady Gaga's, you know, ex was testified this week, right? Does everybody know that? Because he was the agent for Amber and Johnny Depp.
He's
not friends with either one of them.
Ooh.
Because of the situation.
Sure.
And apparently he had some kind of conversation with Amber, and she said about Elon, well, he's just kind of filling space, but I really want Johnny back.
Right.
Amber is a user and an abuser and not a nice person, but it doesn't change the fact that Johnny beat the hell out of her. It doesn't change the fact that, you know, this is a horrible situation. And, you know, Johnny laughing about Marilyn Manson and stuff. Oh, yeah, I had to give him a pill to get him quiet. Do you know that he's raped like 20 women? If that really doesn't matter to me, I'm just happy to be his friend.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's that kind of thing. Halsey, with all her medical conditions, really, are you okay? Are you okay? Why did you put Marilyn Manson tattoo, like a full size of him, on your body?
Really?
Didn't you know about all the underage women, girls, and that he raped and stuff? Oh, I just love him. I think he's a wonderful musician. You know, it's that kind of thing. And I also feel sad for Paul Bettany, because he's actually, when Johnny Depp is testifying, is sending him text saying, oh, I want to burn, you know, Amber's corpse and then have sex with it or whatever. And Paul Bettany's going, I don't think that we should do that. She's really a nice person. And Paul Bettany comes across as like a guy who's totally normal. And no, I don't think that we should do that. And Johnny's like, yeah, we did a bunch of coke, me and Paul Bettany and everything. And oh, you know, I'm just kind of throwing his career under the bus. And Paul Bettany's replying to these texts going like, you know, I'm just a normal, decent guy, and I like to have threesomes with Jennifer Connelly. I like to throw those things in for you guys. Yeah,
we enjoy it.
Just keep things going. Yeah. You know, keep you on your toes.
Auntie, so,
haven't had threesomes in a long time.
This, Auntie, this has really been bugging me, and I know that I want to preface this with knowing that, like, domestic violence is a very serious thing. Domestic abuse is a very, very serious thing, and it takes many shapes, many forms. There are many facets to it that make it very complicated. But when you have these two people, Johnny and Amber, recording each other for years, and clearly, for the most part, they're both in positions to just leave. What was the end game for both of them here?
Oh, they enabled the heck out of each other. Like I said, Amber encouraged Johnny to use drugs and stuff because that way she could keep him under her thumb and she could keep him, right? She wanted to stay with him. And there's been some testimony and things where, like, you could tell that she loved being with Johnny Depp. And then Johnny Depp said, oh, my gosh, it was the best relationship I had ever been in, and then it wasn't. There was a story that Johnny testified to about the boots. I call it the boots, where every day when he would come home from shooting, Amber would hand him a glass of wine and take off his boots.
Right.
And then one day she was on the phone when he came in. And so he sat down and took off his own boots, and she came in and she looked at him and she said, why would you take off your boots? That's my job. Why would you do that? And handed him a glass of wine. And then he testified in the next sentence that after that, I knew that this relationship was done, because after that, I watched her for the next year or so, and she just went completely downhill. I to me, it was like, okay, there's a big gap here between one day she gets mad that she didn't get to take off your boots, and then that she's a complete psycho. We're missing a section here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing is that there's some things about it. He said, she said, right? It's kind of like, okay, well, you know, you guys were both high and wasted. Who knows who's telling the truth? But there's shades of it. But there's one, of course, outright lie. Either one of them is telling an outright lie. And that's about the vodka bottle, right? And his finger.
Yeah.
Because Amber, okay, Johnny says that Amber threw a vodka bottle at him, hit his finger, sliced it off, and I have said, you know, ad nauseum, Ed, I want you to take a vodka bottle and just throw it at your finger. And just have producer Melissa throw a vodka bottle at your finger.
Will do.
A full vodka bottle, and see if she ever gets to take a slice off, and the answer will be no. Because it's just good. It might break it, but it's not going to slice it off.
Yeah.
And then Amber says that Johnny sliced off his finger by taking a plastic phone and smashing it up against the wall, and that's how he sliced his finger. To me, that seems more realistic, because I'm trying to imagine somebody throwing an entire vodka bottle in my hand. I'll hold it in my hand. Oh, you broke my little finger or whatever, because the big, you know, 20-pound vodka bottle or whatever hit my finger and you broke it. But how is it smashing and then slicing off your finger?
Yeah, that's a two-step process.
Doctors, yeah, I just... Now, there has been... one of my readers or something said that they saw something once that said that perhaps his finger was then pressed against a wall or something, so it hit the finger and then the vodka bottle smashed. The other thing that I have a big problem with is he was supposedly sober in Australia right before they went. And if you read his testimony, I'm like, okay, if you're sober and you're so focused on your sobriety, then don't have a bar in the house. And he goes, in his testimony, he said, Amber threw a vodka bottle at me and it smashed everywhere. And I got out of the way. Amber picked up another vodka bottle, threw it at me, and it smashed my finger. Meanwhile, we're both drinking wine. I'm like, okay, where's all this booze coming from, Mr. Sober? You know,
To be fair, it's probably what was it, a yacht they were living on? Or a boat or something?
It was an Airbnb.
There you go. So hard to keep track of.
Nine bedrooms and nine bathrooms. And he hid in each one of the bedrooms as he sought to escape Amber and her ever-going aggressions. And here's the other thing. Why didn't you think that she was going to be angry? Before she gets on the 18-hour flight to Australia, you had her meet with your lawyers to say, in a corner, to say, you need to sign a postnuptial agreement. You need to sign a postnuptial agreement. And we're going to keep you in here until you sign. And after like 3 or 4 hours, she goes, I'm not going to sign. Fine. Go on your 18-hour flight to Australia. And she gets on the 18-hour flight to Australia. And then Johnny's like, I don't even know why she was upset.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever.
Ozark is coming to a close. Probably one of the more dramatic, more exciting series that we've seen on streaming services in the last few years.
Excited.
Jason Bateman, Laura Linney, is there any dirt going on? Like, not between them, but I mean, is there any dirt?
Wow. Ozark, you just went there, huh? I can tell that you've been sitting home watching it, Ed.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's so many streaming shows. You could say that about any kind of things. You know, I've been watching Moon Knight, and honest to God, I only watched the first two episodes, and I really don't even know what's going on at this point. But everybody go, oh my gosh, you got to watch Moon Knight, because that's just the most amazing show. And,
yeah.
And you look at it and go, I watched some Ozark. I mean, I think it's okay. I think there's a lot of streaming shows that are just okay. I'm glad you like it, though. I'm glad you have something to watch. Jason Bateman is not a nice person.
I was going to say, really. Isn't he rumored to be such a jerk on set and stuff?
Yeah, he's horrible. And, you know, he basically, I think he sent Jessica Walter to an early grave. And,
oh, God.
Yeah, you know, and Jessica Walter was on Arrested Development, played his mom. And there was a whole Jeffrey Tambor thing where Jeffrey Tambor was just being awful to every single woman that he ever came into contact with, like on Transparent and also on Arrested Development. And Jessica Walter one time, there was this group interview that they were doing with the New York Times or something. And Jessica Walter says, look, Jeffrey Tambor's touched me. He's horrible. He says all these things. And then all the guys from Arrested Development, including Jason Bateman, who took the lead, said, Jessica, you're out of line. Jeffrey Tambor is the most wonderful human. And Jessica Walter just starts crying. I mean, just like desperately, oh, how come you guys aren't taking my side? And she's just crying and crying. And right. Aaliyah Shawkat's like, you guys, what are you doing? He's awful. And you know, comforting Jessica Walter. And the guys are just like, no, Jeffrey Tambor is great. And then, you know, 6 months later, Jessica Walter's dead. And then you go back in time, and it's not like Jason Bateman hasn't talked about his drug addiction and alcohol abuse. He does, but he puts himself in the best possible light when it comes to it. And he's like, yeah, you know, I almost lost my wife, I almost lost all these things. And, you know, there's this time I you know, at school, in high school, he was kicked out of high school because he was doing lines of cocaine off his high school desks. But he won't ever say that part. And, you know, he was just a jerk because Justine was doing well. And he just took advantage of that. And then he was on Silver Spoons and stuff. He's been a jerk basically his entire life. And I know he comes across as this, oh, happy-go-lucky kind of guy and things like this. He screwed over Jennifer Aniston and stuff. And Jennifer's kind of like, well, you know, I'm older. I don't really want to get into the details of it. And that's fine. And we can pretend to be friends and all that. But I think if one day Jennifer Aniston's going to say, okay, I don't need to work anymore. I don't care what people think. And she's going to sit down and she is going to dictate a biography to a ghostwriter. And there's going to be a chapter there for Jason Bateman.
Ooh.
And it is not going to be a pleasant chapter.
Because they've starred in a couple of movies together, right? And, like, I've seen on Instagram, like, you're right, like, she posts, like, he goes to her house when she has big dinners and stuff. Like, they're BFFs.
Right. And that is an adult situation, right? That's a horrible boss's. This is all in the past. I'm talking about Jennifer Aniston, like, pre-Brad Pitt.
Oh.
I mean, yeah, I'm talking about
way back.
Back in the day.
Okay.
Way back in the day. And then how he treated her and things like that. So I'm talking way before that. I'm talking about pre-Friends even.
Like Teen Wolf maybe. 2. Or, Teen Wolf 2 days, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, or early Friends kind of things. This is a long time ago. And she'll say, well, we're grown up now, or you do horrible bosses and stuff. But I'm saying that if she ever gets around to writing biography and the ghostwriter, she's going to have a nice chapter about Jason Bateman. Now, is she going to, you know, come out with everything? She's alluded to things about how Jason was so horrific on drugs and stuff that he treated her like crap. But is she really going to get into, like, the specific details and things? So I'm not a fan of Jason Bateman. Never will be.
Yeah.
I like Laura Linney just fine.
Okay.
All right, cool.
Okay.
Very cool.
One last question before we get to the juicy blind item. We read this story this week about Olivia Wilde. She was just on stage at, like, CinemaCon, and she was doing a presentation, and Jason Sudeikis, her ex and baby daddy, served her custody papers in the middle of her presentation. So he was like, oh, I didn't mean for it to happen that way. But you have told us before that Jason Sudeikis also wasn't the most amazing partner, right?
No, but you know, anything that you could do to spice up that presentation, it was needed. From what I understand, the entire world, the entire Harry Styles fan base was on their edge of the seat about, because it was the full-length trailer, right? This is
right.
The first time there's a full-length trailer this movie is going to come out.
This is the movie that she directed,
like, oh my gosh, it's gonna...
that stars Harry.
Yeah, and apparently the trailer was not good.
Ooh.
Oh.
And look, Booksmart, great movie. I think Olivia should get more credit for that movie than she did. But that was a tiny little movie. This is something a little bit more ambitious. And then throwing Harry into this kind of role. I mean, I'm sure the movie might be fine, but the trailer sucked. And the people, the fan base is probably going to go, well, we don't care because we just love Harry. And, you know, but Jason has said that he didn't know that they were going to serve the person,
right?
Serve Olivia while she was doing that. He just was filing these custody documents, and the process server's like, how can we get Olivia Wilde? Well, we know she's going to be at CinemaCon. Let's get credentials. I want to know how they got credentials for CinemaCon, because it's kind of a tough thing to do. You have to be a reporter or a movie theater owner. So how did this process server get the credentials and then just walk up there, falls to the process server for just, you know, she's talking to 5,000 people. Here you go.
I know. Like, what were they thinking? Part of me was like, was this like a publicity stunt? Like, after you said, oh, it needed to be spiced up a little bit. Was it like on purpose?
It wasn't. And Jason said, well, obviously I wouldn't have had her interrupted like that or whatever. But it shows that there is a lot of arguing behind the scenes.
I was going to say, because I thought they were on good terms, because he thanked her at his Emmy speech because it was Ted Lasso was her idea and all of these things.
Yeah, but there's also been, did I talk to you guys about this? Maybe I did. And if I'm sorry, I'll repeat it. But so her kids had a talent show at school at the end of maybe at Christmas time or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they got up and they sang a Harry Styles song. And Jason was in the audience, you know, with his camera and stuff, taking videos of the kids and everything. And he was like, seriously? You know, it's just like, and Olivia's just dancing, and Jason was just, and the school posted the video online.
Well, why wouldn't they?
Of the kids singing the Harry Styles song. And it was up for about an hour before Jason probably said, what the hell are you guys doing? And then they took it down. But it was up for about an hour. And I don't know.
All right, cool.
Auntie, what you are known for in the celebrity world, your world famous blind item.
Your spicy blinds.
What do you got for us today?
I'm going to make this super easy.
You always say that.
Super easy.
You always say that.
I am. I can't make this much easier. Other than like whispering in your ear, Ed, I cannot make this any easier.
All right, cool.
Not that I would whisper in your ear.
It's okay.
The celebrity CEO and the flowering financial institution are about to start hooking up again.
Celebrity CEO and the flowering financial institution?
Yep.
About to start. Wait, is hooking up a metaphor?
Yeah, for bumping uglies.
Yes, yeah. Thank you.
A celebrity CEO.
Everybody who listens, who reads my site, they'll get it in 2 seconds.
Okay.
Oh.
I don't know what you're trying to say about us, but whatever. Dig at us?
I can tell you guys don't read the site or you would have already had it.
Come on.
Now I'm going there right now. Okay, NT, thank you as always. We love you. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a great weekend, you guys.
You too. Bye.
Bye.